Another addition in the new lineup for 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB on the weekends. On Saturdays at 4 o'clock is the TED Radio Hour, hosted by Guy Raz. Of course, you recognize Guy from as being the weekend host of NPR's afternoon news magazine, All Things Considered, and he's now moved into this new role and is on the phone with me from an undisclosed location while on vacation. How are you doing, Guy?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's begin with the TED Radio Hour. What is TED for the uninitiated?
Well, so TED is not actually a person. TED's for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And it was a conference that was launched in California in the early 80s. And really in the last 5 years, it's become kind of a global force where you've got thinkers and inventors and creative people who will get up on a stage and they'll talk for 18 minutes about what they do or an idea that they have. And the whole motto of the organization is ideas worth spreading. They do two big events a year, one in California and one has been in the United Kingdom. And then there are smaller events all over the country called TEDx events. And so that's basically TED. It's this organization that has mounted these conferences and puts these talks online for people around the world to watch whenever they want. And they have now had close to a billion views on their own website, which is TED.com, just in the last few years. It's incredible.
This sort of fits in with what you created at All Things Considered, the 3-minute fiction writing contest. That's kind of like TED, but 18 minutes.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, what happened about a year ago, TED approached NPR and they asked us to launch a show together. And we thought that was a great idea. So they asked me to host it, and we are, we essentially take TED Talks and we build shows around a theme. So, for example, we had a show built around the theme of memory. And one of the talks was from a guy named Danny Kahneman, who's a Nobel Prize-winning economist, actually. And he's done a lot of research into memory. And so we used parts of this talk, and we also interviewed him, and we also interviewed other TED speakers who also spoke on this idea of memory and how memories are really constructions. They're not particularly reliable. And it was absolutely fascinating. The idea of the show is to take all of our listeners on a journey with us, you know, a journey of discovery, because I'm also discovering things as I'm reporting them, as I'm hosting the show. I'm talking to people who are explaining some of the most incredible ideas, concepts that are just mind-blowing. We had a show on recently about space and about just the vastness of the cosmos and about things that I'm not naturally, they're not my natural strong suits, like astrophysics. But
right.
But you have these TED speakers come on and they explain these ideas and concepts in such a dynamic way that we hope our goal is that by the end of each hour, every time you hear the TED Radio Hour, part of the way you see the world will change. And that really is our hope.
And what are some other themes you've explored? You talked about memory. I believe I remember one, what is beauty? Another one about
exactly,
storytelling.
Yeah.
So these ideas change from week to week.
Exactly. And we have a small team at NPR. And we sort of say, well, let's look at beauty, you know, let's look at violence. Let's ask the question, do we all have the capacity to carry out a violent act? How do we define beauty? How do we know what beauty is? We're looking now at a show about life changing in an instant, about living two lives over the course of a single lifespan, you know.
Hmm.
And we get stories from incredible people who, you know, one guy who was an amazing athlete and then in an instant became a quadriplegic because he was in a car accident. And the story about how he's lived two different lives. We sort of find these themes like memory, like storytelling, and we try to build a bigger picture out of it and a broader theme out of it. And we try to bring out things that maybe some of the speakers couldn't bring out on the TED stage.
Well, we look forward to you expanding our horizons here on Saturday afternoons.
Oh, we are so honored to be aired in Cincinnati. It is so awesome for us. I really, really think I've been at NPR for 16 years. This is the thing I'm most proud of. It is such a fun show to be part of, and I really hope the listeners in Cincinnati will appreciate it and enjoy it.
We have a TEDx Cincinnati that happens here, too, and that will fit in well with the TED Radio Hour. A new addition to the WVXU-WMUB weekend lineup at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoons. You can tune in this Saturday and find out what they're thinking about. Thanks, Guy. Appreciate it. And thanks for your time out of the vacation there, too.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
This is Cincinnati Edition, 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purzel, and it's the 4th of July on Thursday. Of course, there are all those pyromaniacs who are deciding what to shoot off for their backyard display. I remember growing up in North Carolina, living there a few years ago. Each July, I'd go out to a friend's house, a nice little cottage on the shore of Lake Montonia. Usually, you couldn't see anyone around, though there were dozens of houses, and we pretty much had the place to ourselves. Until the 4th of July rolled around. Now, this is a gated lake community, not McMansions and stuff. This was formed in the 1930s, I believe, down there, right outside of Kings Mountain, North Carolina. But Lake Monotony most of the time, 4th of July, OMG. Everybody went out to the fireworks store in South Carolina, loaded down their trunks and pickup trucks, and came back. And on the 4th of July at Lake Montonia near Kings Mountain, North Carolina, everybody went out to the end of their dock and started firing fireworks about 6 in the evening. Of course, the next morning, well, all the pieces of paper, colored paper, and those red sticks all over the water that we went and picked up. But boy, some of those displays, just amazing. I'm sure they would surpass the Labor Day fireworks here in Cincinnati, cost-wise. And remembering those days, the 4th of July, and my own joy in setting off my own fireworks, this piece from Hans Andersen really struck a chord with me.
6:40, up at sunrise. Lots to do on the 4th of July. 10 a.m. Damn, snooze button. Despite the weekly run-throughs and drills, I'm already way off the schedule I designed in February. Must drop non-essential items from the to-do list. Eat breakfast. Scratch. Shower. Scratch. Smoke detector tests. Scratch. Replace outdated fire extinguishers with working models. Scratch. 12:57. Time to organize the fireworks. There are three schools of thought here. Alphabetical, which has obvious flaws. By black powder grain count, so you can work your way up to the bigger fireworks. And by color, which makes for a more interesting, less structured event. It's even better when you do it blindfolded. All right, here's what I got. 6 bricks of black gas. 3 thunder bombs. Enough bottle rockets to land the space shuttle on the moon. 12 giant Thor missiles. 6 moonrakers. 10 red dogs. 2 unexploded Tomahawk cruise missiles recovered from the Nevada desert. And 2 Scud missiles I bought from an Iraqi on eBay. I also hired an actor who looks like Peter Arnett to MC. 1:05 p.m. Neighborhood kids can't wait for me to start. One kid has been up in the neighbor's tree so long he wet his pants but refuses to leave his pole position seat. 1:34 p.m. The find of the century. This guy drives by with a flatbed trailer trying to hawk the cannon. It costs $500 to rent it for the night. Cash, no checks. It looks real. Complete with 24 cannonballs and an antique brass monkey. He makes me sign a waiver holding him blameless for accidents and loss of life. Yeah, like that's gonna hold up in court. 1:37. Guy with trailer pulls away. Neighbors look frightened, board up their windows, move their cars 2 blocks over. 1:40. Neighbors sign petition to have me sent to the funny farm, but they didn't think it was funny when I stuffed their petition into the cannon and shot it over their heads.
I did, though.
Aren't cannons covered in the Bill of Rights?
Note to self.
Go online. Look up Constitution. Read the whole thing this time. 1:45. Neighbors ready their pressure washers and lay out soaker hoses on their rooftops. Forest Service prepares smoke jumpers. Helicopter hovers overhead with huge cradle of water. 4:50. Googled the Constitution.
Tried to read.
Fell asleep 3 times. What's so important about that thing anyway? And why do all the S's, as in Sam, look like F's, as in Fred? And what's with all the big words?
Sheesh.
Where's the Reader's Digest version of this thing? 5:00. Last minute run to the store to stock up on cigarette lighters. Can't risk a leaky lighter or a dud. Last year, I used a flamethrower to light the fuses.
Oh, that was a crowd pleaser.
But usually the fireworks skip the fuse stage and jump directly to explosion. My eyebrows just filled in last month. 5:30. Rehearsal. Found a flaw with the cannon. Trajectory is too low. 6 p.m. Warm-up act. Kids bring out sparklers. Wave them around. Can't see anything. Not dark enough. Burn themselves. Note to self. Too many emergency room visits. Can sparklers next year. 7:20. Why is it when you're a kid, it always gets dark way too early in the summer when you're out playing and having fun? But when it's time for fireworks on the 4th, dark doesn't arrive until after midnight. 7:30. Shot off first fireworks. No, it's not dark yet. But I'm an American. I have no patience.
I mean, come on.
I have a high-speed cable modem, a fast car, 3 microwaves, and a DVR to watch whatever TV I want to watch when I want to watch it. I have twice what my parents worked their whole lives for, and I'm only 30. Expecting me to wait until dark is just so second millennium. 7:45. Boom. The cannon sets off car alarms for six square blocks. Windows shatter. Maybe I should use less black powder. 7:46. Boom. Oops. Better aim the cannon a little higher. Sorry, Gary. No, I'll get that. No, I'll get it. No problem. No, I've got a big boy fire extinguisher right here. Yeah, I'll put out the fire in no time. This puppy could put out a torched Kuwaiti oil well. Oh, is that your Beamer? Yeah, it was really nice. Was that new? I don't mind at all. No problem. 7:48. Gary told me to expect to hear from his lawyer. Sissy. 9:07. Dark. Finally. 9:08. Department of Homeland Security commandos storm my compound and confiscate my arsenal. Tom Ridge holds press conference. 10:48. Boarded plane headed to Camp Delta at Guantanamo Bay. 4th of July. Independence Day.
Independent producer Hans Anderson with his take on the 4th of July here on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. In the studio now on Cincinnati Edition is J.R. Cassidy, the music director of the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra. Why is J.R. here? Well, I'll tell you. Here on Mondays on the new Cincinnati Edition, I'm starting a little segment called Working for the Weekends. Yes, a bad big hair band from the 80s tune, but it's true. Here it's Monday. You're just starting up the work week again, just coming off a nice weekend. We really enjoyed yourself, or in cases like our technical director, Bruce Ellis, where you were goaded into one set of tennis too many by your much younger son, and you're kind of feeling it, but you're planning what you want to do next weekend. What are you doing next weekend, or what would you suggest someone do next weekend? It is a holiday weekend, and we're taking your suggestions at 513-419-7100 by email at talk@wvxu.org. Or you can follow us and make mention on Facebook and Twitter as well. But my suggestion for this weekend, Living in America with Dvorak and the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra at DeVue Park, opening their 19th season of summer fun, family fun there in DeVue Park. Good afternoon, JR.
Hey, Mark. Glad to be here. This is great.
I have to say, 19th season for the summer pops, for your summer season, I know. And I know that the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra is celebrating its 20th. season.
Actually, it's our 22nd.
Oh!
Coming up.
Technically.
Yeah, and we're going to start our 22nd season in the fall.
Oh, wow. Well, the DeVue Park concert's always fun there at the beautiful band shell, at least from the view from the lawn. It's a beautiful band shell, but it's nice for the performance and a great bowl there, and it's fun to have the family along with some great music.
Well, you know what's great about the concerts, and we love doing those out there, is that this has this natural lawn bowl and then this little 1939 WPA built band shell at the nestled at the bottom of it, so where the kids can roll down the hill, everybody can spread out their blanket, and it's just and generations do this, so it's always interesting to see grandma, grandpa, the kids, and the family, and everybody there, just coming out to hear, you know, to be together and enjoy, you know, wonderful music by the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra.
So 4th of July weekend, but, you know, even though it is in the middle of the week, but this weekend considered that. So you have all the patriotic music, and you're talking about Antonín Dvořák, the Czech composer who did come and spend some time in America and had a number of his pieces that were inspired by his visit here.
Right. Well, you know what's amazing is, you know, we looked at the 4th of July weekend, and because that's the weekend we got, you know, we're planning to do the concert, and said, oh, I just don't want to do a patriotic show, because everybody can do those and everybody has done them, and it's what people expect, but we do normally do things a little bit differently. So I was thinking about, you know, what haven't we done out there? We haven't done a classical concert, and then I started looking around, and when I realized that, you know, well, certainly Dvorak lived here for 3 years almost, between 1892 and 95, and he wrote some of his most beloved music, the New World Symphony, the Cello Concerto, and different things. And then he wrote this cantata called The American Flag. And it's very patriotic. It's like seven little movements, but it's by poems by Drake, I believe. And it's this patriotic piece that nobody's heard. And it's never been performed in the area. And in fact, I thought it would be easy to get, and it would be, you know, public domain and all that kind of stuff. And I looked all over the United States and had my library and buddy friends around the country help. We found it in Prague, and they actually had to ship it from Prague. They had to create a set of parts that didn't exist and then ship it from Prague to us to perform here on Saturday.
So the American Flag, a regional premiere. I was going to say I'm very familiar, reasonably familiar with a lot of the music Dvorak wrote, but I had not heard of that. Where did you discover it?
I was just digging around. I mean, that's, you know, now that we have the internet, you know, we used to have to go to libraries for stuff like this. And you dig around and you go, what is that? And so I started, and there's a couple recordings. You know, Michael Tilson Thomas actually recorded it back around the bicentennial back in 76. And then there's actually a really good recording by the Prague Radio Symphony out that I don't know if you guys have it in your library or not, but it's actually pretty good. But yeah, I was just finding this and then realizing that it fit. Now, what's interesting about it is, you know, we're going to do this Slavonic dance, which wasn't written here, but it's a nice curtain opener, you know, to start the show. But prior to that, we're going to play a piece by one of our own musicians called The Pledge of Allegiance. And essentially what he did is he set Pledge of Allegiance to music. And it's really short, of course, but what's interesting is the Pledge of Allegiance was written to in that commemoration year of Columbus's discovery of America 400 years prior, you know. And then the same thing goes with the American flag. That was supposed to be written for the Columbus Day celebration of the New World. And what's funny about the cantata is it was written. He finished writing it, and 3 days later he started the New World Symphony.
Wow. J.R. Cassidy from the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra, Dvorak Living in America, a unique Americana program for the 4th of July weekend. They will be at the DeVue Park Amphitheater, 7:30 Saturday night, a family-friendly concert happening there. And that's one thing we're working for the weekend with. And here on Cincinnati Edition, we'll be doing this every Monday. So keep your good suggestions in mind. We have a call here from Jimmy from Norwood, who has a comment. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, this concert in sounds a lot of fun. I hope it doesn't rain like it's doing right now.
Well, me too.
Everybody's keeping.
Hey, you know, it was almost 150 years ago, but when Dvorak was here, he predicted that one day America's biggest contribution in the arts and music would be the music of the African American blues and spirituals. And could he have been any more right?
I don't think so. Well, thank you for your call, Jimmy. Appreciate it. And thanks for being here, JR. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the new Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. Technical director for today's show was Bruce Ellis. Producer was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. The Cincinnati Edition theme was composed by William White. You'll be able to find archives of Cincinnati Edition on WVXU.org. Next Monday, his mystery series about Wyoming Sheriff Walt Longmire became a bestseller, and now the hit series Longmire on A&E. Conversation with Craig Johnson, and a chance for you to ask him questions next Monday on Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Brazell. Stay tuned for The Takeaway, coming up next.